Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. I'm Beth Ferdig in for Brian Lehrer. Parents, you might think it's cool that your teenage girl is able to interact online with her friends and is able to get her pop culture fix from the internet. But do you know what sites she's visiting outside of Facebook and MySpace? You might be shocked to hear about a growing number of sites that glorify eating disorders. The sites are dubbed Pro-Anna or Pro-Mia. That's short for pro-anorexia and pro-bulimia. And across the country, these sites are giving comfort to girls who suffer from eating disorders. The goal for these sites is to offer a space for girls to swap advice on how to hide their weight loss and to also offer them tips for thinspiration to continue their quest. Joining me to talk about the proliferation of these sites and how parents and schools can combat them is Lynn Greffey, CEO of the National Eating Disorders Association. Lynn, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much.
Many of our listeners have probably not heard about these sites, so can you tell us a little bit about Pro-Anna and Pro-Mia sites? What are they?
Well, they're actually very scary places where sick people go and basically hide out. They're like cults among young people. They're websites that encourage the illness. For example, I mean, we say that, you know, anorexia and bulimia, these are illnesses. These are not lifestyle choices. But these websites actually contradict that. And what they're telling the young people is it's okay to stay sick. It's really your choice if you want to lose so much weight and stay in this illness. And it's like a false support system. And they're very dangerous because rather than young people seeking help, they're seeking, you know, comfort and support in a place where other people are sick and not getting help. So it's really a place of denial. And it's really scary, and parents need to pay attention.
Our guest is Lynn Greffey, CEO of the National Eating Disorders Association, and we're talking about the phenomenon known as Pro-Anna and Pro-Mia. These are websites that are promoting anorexia and bulimia, not necessarily promoting them to people who want to become anorexics and bulimics, but they rather bill themselves as support centers. But the line can kind of be mixed. It's a twisted sort of tool of empowerment, isn't it?
It really is, and it's, as I say, you know, can you imagine a website for people who have cancer and aren't getting treatment,
right?
You know, that encourage people not to go to chemotherapy and not to have their tumors removed. If you really understand eating disorders and you understand that these are serious, life-threatening illnesses, then you really have to understand how appalling and shocking this is, that there's a place where people are encouraging young people to stay sick.
We should quote from some of these sites because we, the producers and I, were looking at some of them yesterday. There's one called Pro-Anna Nation, and when you get on this site, it asks you several times, are you sure you want to visit this site? Are you sure you're over 18? Are you sure that you're not, you know, that we don't want to get new people who are trying to become anorexic, but it's sort of like a dare. And then when you get to the website, the author tells you that she's an anorexic because she needs control. She's a perfectionist. She can run on sheer mind power alone. Her body weight is her measure of self-worth. She tells you, I'm sick, but this is a place for people like me who are sick, who couldn't get treatment, and we can discuss how we're staying strong together. And, you know, it's sort of this, they know they're sick, but yet they still want to help promote each other in their sickness, correct?
Right. Absolutely correct. But the thing to remember is it's a mental illness. It's a treatable illness. So that's the other part. Nobody in this country should die from an eating disorder, but they do. Anorexia has the highest mortality rate of any mental illness. And girls between the ages of 15 and 24 die 12 times more from anorexia than all other causes of death. So these are serious illnesses, and the fact that, you know, a lot of times people really can't get treatment because their insurance doesn't cover it. So she's not lying when they make that statement about, you know, they're not getting treatment and they can't sometimes.
I want to encourage your phone calls on this subject. Our phone number is 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Parents, teachers, teenagers, if you're aware of these Pro-Anna and Pro-Mia sites, have they become a situation for you, for your students, for your own children? teenagers, do you know about other children, other teenagers who are visiting these sites? Have you looked at them yourself? Please feel free to give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. Lynn, I imagine it's easy to overblow a problem like this. You know, you never know how much of this is an internet hoax. So is there an aspect of hysteria about these sites? Are they really a serious problem, especially now with YouTube, MySpace? How much is there right now on the internet?
Well, I mean, it is a problem, but we looked into it. Can we possibly control this? And you can't. I mean, freedom of speech, people can do whatever they basically want on the internet. But that's where parents are going to have to take some control and pay attention. Because when people start developing serious eating disorders, they do isolate more and they don't stay with their friends and they would spend more time with the computer. So I think parents and friends need to look more for the warning signs. And I do encourage your listeners to go to our website for more information, and that would be www.nationaleatingdisorders.org, because there are signs and symptoms of people who are getting sick with eating disorders and, you know, weight loss, mood swings. There's lots of things. And so, you know, you can pay attention and check out whether your child is going to these sites.
And they're very detailed about their disorder. And you're saying that it's an isolating type of illness. And so this is a way that they can network. And that's sort of what they promote on these sites, is that we're here to support each other. We know that we're sick. The woman who wrote about my Anna life on Pro Anna Nation, she says, isolation accompanies my eating disorder. Socialization is no longer important. She talks about how she stopped attending university lectures. Anorexia is my main focus. Sure. Relationships fade into the background. She doesn't care about her appearance. It's about controlling her illness. And I'm wondering, do these girls, do they care? How does it start? Do they want to be thin?
No.
And then it's something that gets out of control? Do they really think that they're attractive to men when they do this?
It's not about that, and it's not about the food. That's a myth. I'm so tired of people that come up to me and say, "Oh boy, I wish I had an eating disorder just for a few weeks," you know, mm-hmm. as though it's funny. It's not funny. It starts with a diet, and it's a diet that goes awry in certain people. We're finding more and more that there's a genetic vulnerability to eating disorders. So we're all looking at the same magazines, and we're all seeing this, you know, ridiculous stuff about, you know, lose 30 pounds in 30 days, and, you know, we see weight loss plans in everything we pick up. So we're surrounded with diets, we're surrounded with images, but why is it that not everybody develops an eating disorder? So we find that there's certain genetic characteristics, as you said, perfectionism, control. Often eating disorders don't travel alone. Often it's accompanied by depression or obsessive compulsiveness. So the people aren't choosing to have an eating disorder. It evolves. They start out by going on a diet, yes, by controlling their weight, and that's around us everywhere. But the diet then goes out of control. They're not thinking about looking attractive to men, or they're not, you know, thinking about their health. They just lose control. They're trying to get control. They feel that things around in their life they have lost control of, but the one thing they can control is their weight, and it starts out that you get praised for that. Everybody says, "Oh boy, don't you look good? Did you lose a few pounds?" So that's the society we live in, and then they diet more and more, and then it's no longer a diet.
Right, it becomes a mind game,
it's a mind illness.
Yeah,
they're not doing it on purpose.
And they even, on some of these websites, they write about my goddess Anna.
Yeah, but they're not thinking clearly. You know, when you're not feeding your body, you're not feeding your mind. And so to even discuss it with them, it makes no sense. Once they're in that place, that's why they have to isolate, because they are so consumed with the thought about the food and the control, and that they can lose more weight. And that's why we tell people, don't talk about how many pounds you've lost, you know, because it's almost like a competition.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you're not speaking with somebody who's thinking clearly.
Okay.
Once their eating disorder has taken over. And oftentimes somebody will draw a picture of what the disease looks like, and I've seen it more than once. They draw it as though it's a monster on their head. So it's taken over all their rational thinking. And that's why they have to remove from their friends and their family, and they isolate, because nobody understands this place that they're in now.
Right.
Now,
right.
The good news is eating disorders are treatable. So that's why if we can get people off of those websites and take them by the hand and get them to some treatment and counseling, you know, we can get them past this.
We have been getting calls, and I want to invite you to call us at 212-433-9692. Christy from Peekskill, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was listening, and I find it really interesting that this is coming to light now. Over 12 years ago, when I was a teenager and the internet was really new, message boards were the big place for this to take, you know, were the big place for this to be happening. And pro eating disorder message boards would pop up under eating disorder support groups where teenage girls would give each other all the tips and tricks for not getting caught and support each other and post all of these really salacious stories, you know, recruiting basically.
Right.
So is this something that evolved, Lynn Grief?
Yes. I mean, she's absolutely right. It's just been coming out more, but they're not new. These sites are not new, and they have been shut down, and what happens is somebody opens them somewhere else, so it's very difficult to control. We've looked into it.
Thank you, Christy, for calling. Lynn, what have the internet providers done to stop these sites?
Not much. Because they realize they can pop up anywhere. What some of them have done is contacted us and said, well, can you combat this? And, well, how are we going to do that? So they're providing us some, you know, advertising space because they don't want to feel responsible. But an ad certainly isn't going to, you know, shut mm-hmm. this down. It's just they want it to be reflected that we're encouraging people to get the help that they need. And that's what everybody should be doing. So, you know, and I'm also very careful. I don't ever won't participate in any program or anything where you're naming, you know, where to find the sites. People mm-hmm. can find them easily enough. But I participate in talking about this so parents can be aware. And if they're noticing some changes, to then they can check the computers and they can see where their teens have been.
Do you think it's become more prolific since there's now YouTube and MySpace? Do you think that those are sites that have, you know, we read that this was sort of on the decline at around 2003 or so, but that it might be resurging again because of, you know, the videos that you can get on YouTube and sure. the social networking on MySpace?
No, I think obviously the more availability to information, the more people are looking at it. Again, they're not thinking clearly, and yet they don't want to feel like they're the only person on earth that has this problem. And so, you know, all these different avenues to talk to people who are thinking the same way as you certainly increases it. I'm not saying it increases eating disorders, but it increases the places
networking.
Now people can find what they think is support. It's the wrong kind of support.
Okay, we have another caller, a man, Sam from White Plains. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. What a pleasure to be on. First of all, I would like to remind the guest that anorexia and bulimia are not illnesses that only affect women. Men are suffer from these as well. And the other point that I would like to make, right, so it's first. Second is, it's really crucial that we drop the shrill tone. 30 years ago, there were people on radio stations saying the exact same thing about homosexuality. It's an illness. It's pathology. These people don't think straight. This isn't a lifestyle choice. They need to isolate from the rest of the world because they don't know where they are. Now, this isn't in the service of defending anorexia or bulimia. It's in the service of attempting to dismiss what's a reactionary approach.
Wait. Are you equating? Are you saying that it's reactionary for people to get upset about young women encouraging each other in a disease that can result in death?
No, not at all. What I'm saying is when addressing the problem of a disease that affects young women and men that may result in death, what we need to be doing is speaking to them, not telling them that they don't think clearly, A. B, we need to be not necessarily looking at what websites they go to, but look at how they look. I mean, if a parent or a friend really needs to resort to investigating the computer traffic their child, then I think we have a very clear indication of where the problem lies, and that is precisely in a failure of communication. Your guest wishes to say that this is a problem of control. I'll accept that completely, but perhaps we should examine on a more meta-analytic scale what the problems of control are. we're in a, if this becomes then a cultural question, not merely one of pathologies. And I think that that analysis is completely lacking in what your customer or your guest wants to say. What
okay,
she
well,
wants
thank
us to be is reactionary. Oh, boo these websites, boo these websites. But the
if
problem
I could,
is much more
if
complex.
I could speak.
Okay,
certainly
Lynn.
One of the comments I wanted to move on to actually was that there certainly are males that suffer from eating disorders, not at the same numbers, but, you know, I've seen eating disorders in a young boy 8 years old. So, you know, it's dangerous for both. It's just the numbers are much higher among females. Secondly, I clearly don't see any, you know, connection between, you know, somebody who has a, you know, homosexuality and an illness. Eating disorders are, in fact, mental illnesses. The National Institute of Mental Health confirms that these are brain disorders. You know, people don't like to say that because there's been such a stigma surrounding mental health. Gratefully, we're getting rid of that stigma. You know, depression is no longer stigmatized, and we're hoping we get to a point with eating disorders that people understand.
But does he have any point, though, that by telling these people you're sick, it could be counterproductive?
Not really, because they really are sick, and they usually know that.
Yeah.
And so the goal is to get them to professional medical help. You know, unlike other mental illnesses, this illness affects the entire body. So, you know, it's one thing to be having problems in your thinking and the issues and the control issues, but the other problem certainly is your physical health. I mean, as I said, anorexia has the highest death rate of any mental illness, and that's, you know, that's sad, and it's
something like 6% of anorexics, right?
Right. But also early osteoporosis, you know, it affects the organs, heart failure, potassium levels decrease.
But he also says, our caller also said that it should be something that parents pay more attention to in other ways besides just monitoring what kids look at on the internet, correct?
Oh, well, 100%. We certainly hope that, you know, a parent would notice if their child is suddenly having a weight loss. But in the case of bulimia, you wouldn't necessarily know that mm-hmm. there's a weight loss. But I meet parents later who say, gee, there were some mood swings and I just figured it was adolescence, which is perfectly natural. But, you know, in the case of bulimia, there are other things going on, sometimes hiding food, just different behaviors, leaving the table immediately after a meal.
And these websites encourage each other to on ways of hiding it.
Right. So if suddenly you're seeing differences, you know, that's all. It's a matter of if your child is on the computer and you're suspecting there could be eating problems, perhaps disordered eating. It doesn't mean it's a chronic eating disorder yet. That's the time to catch it. Early intervention is the best prevention for eating disorders.
Okay, I'm Beth Ferdigan for Brian Lehrer. My guest is Lynn Grief. Sorry, I said your name wrong again. Lynn Grief,
okay.
CEO of the National Eating Disorders Association, and we're talking about the proliferation of websites that encourage girls and boys to engage in unhealthy anorexia and bulimia. I've been taking calls this morning. We've got the lines open. You can call us at 212-433-9692. Deborah from Manhattan, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm a writer and also a recovering anorexic. I wrote a book called Second Star to the Right, which was first published in 82 and nominated for the National Book Award, and it was reissued recently by Penguin with an afterword. And when I was sick, it was in the early 70s, and I didn't even have a typewriter, never mind internet, but I was in a ward, this treatment program, and there were eight of us there. And we were doing exactly what the people on the internet are doing now, trading tricks and giving each other hints. And no matter how much I wanted to get better, this illness isn't just a mental illness, it's an addiction. And it is so hard to turn away from the kind of sick encouragement that patients will give each other. And what would people say if there was a website for alcoholics encouraging each other to keep on drinking, and that it's their choice, and
great point.
It kills, you know, and alcohol also affects the entire body. I mean, who in the world would be in favor of that? And how? It's just so upsetting to me that this is going on, and that there doesn't seem to be anything that we can do about it.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you,
Lynn. What do you say to that?
Well, she's absolutely right. I mean, you could hear her pain, and good for her being a pioneer writing about this so long ago. You know, eating disorders aren't new. It's just that we're finally talking about them, and we're trying to understand them, and we're learning so much more. But she's right. I mean, there's a lot of pain with this illness. People don't want to be sick, but they really don't want to know what to do. And it, you know, unlike an addiction where you can give up alcohol and drugs, you can't give up food. So it makes it that much more difficult. You're confronting this demon every day, and to survive, you have to eat.
It also seems like there's this constant pressure in the media that we hear about, you know, the latest with the weight standards, body mass index standards for the models. Spain was ahead of the curve with that, requiring models to not be too skinny. But New York City, of course, did not exactly follow in suit. People talk so much about how especially young women are subject to all these images glorifying thinness. You know, just look at Nicole Richie and all the movie stars out there that we see every day in the tabloids. Isn't it sort of impossible to isolate yourself from this? You can't blame it on the internet. I mean, anyone is going to be exposed to these images.
Right.
So
absolutely.
What separates the person who's vulnerable to that, to the one who's not?
Well, there really isn't. You know, your genetics. I mean, next week is National Eating Disorders Awareness Week. And one of our themes is be comfortable in your genes, G-E-N-E-S. And the reason is, you know, we're all born with a certain makeup and certain characteristics, and we come in all shapes and sizes. And the goal should be healthy and strong. That's what we should want for our families, for our children, for each other. But we are facing all these things around us. You brought up the fashion industry. Well, the fashion industry doesn't cause eating disorders, you know, but the tobacco advertising, for example, did not cause lung cancer. But, you know, it encouraged some of the behaviors, such as smoking. Well, the fashion industry is promoting size 00. And, you know, we've been trying to talk them through here in the United States, encouraging the industry to at least require annual physicals to protect the models. So at least if there is an eating disorder going on, that they could get early treatment. But in terms of the impact on young people, these are unattainable, basically, body sizes that were being shown. Unless,
okay,
you know, based on eating habits, I mean, it can be dangerous. So, you know, we're encouraging healthier standards out there.
Okay, we have just 30 seconds. Can you tell our parents listening anything that they should look for with their computers and their children?
First of all, pay attention to your child. Pay attention if there's any unusual behaviors around food before it becomes an eating disorder. Hopefully they're not getting on these websites, but if you're detecting other problems in their eating and their size and their weight, sudden weight loss, you know, then you might want to take a look and see if, you know, or encourage them,
okay,
you know, to stay away from it.
Thank you so much. Our guest was Lynn Grief, CEO of National Eating Disorders Association, talking about the proliferation of pro-anorexia websites. I'm Beth Fertig, in for Brian Lehrer. Next up, we'll talk about the high school dropout rate.